Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here one more time. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory on Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to welcome everyone again on this Tuesday, October the 8th, 2019, to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, our Twitter followers, and our Instagram followers. So it's good to be here. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And so we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in this measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So we thank God for this out of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter. So important to realize. And then also, this was written to the Gentiles. So what a blessing it is that we are partakers of the same body. And you know, previous chapters, he tore down the middle wall of partition, and he made, twain, one new body. So now we all are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace, who has made both one, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, was to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. So we were far off, the other nations, but Israel was nigh. So thank God for that. So God made sure that we get understanding, because we know initially that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They rejected him. The foreknowledge of God already knew what was going to happen, so he made provisions. That's why he was saying that God didn't send his son into the world, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he was saying, no man hath to send it up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And he goes on to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so that is just so important. So thank God that he put us in there. So he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we know that name is Jesus. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so this is what the gospel is all about. So I've been doing a series like for the last 22 sessions of Before Today on end time prophecy. So there's so much to go with that. Just signs, end time signs, signs of the end times. So prophecy and a lot to go in there. And there's still a lot more to go to it, so you can't exhaust it. But we are living in the last days. And then some scriptures are so, they actually, it's self-explanatory. When the writer and Joel said, and Peter made reference to that on the day of Pentecost when he preached the first message to the New Testament church, and he was saying, it shall come to pass, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon, in the last days, he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And he goes on to say, upon my servants and handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days. He's making reference to the last days, what the 28th verse says. And then he goes on to say again, And as we are, we're taught to pay very close attention to repetition, he says, and they shall prophesy. So that word prophesy means preach or means to proclaim. So thank God for that. And so it's good to be here on another Truth on Blog Talk Radio session. So the Godhead, so like I've said, the term Godhead is the God who is the head of all things, the only God. The term is only used 3 times in the Bible, in the book of Romans, in the book of Acts, and in the book of Colossians. So this is the only belief series, and so today we want to talk about the mission of the church. So that's, we want to stay focused in. That's what it should all be about, is the church's mission anyway, and not about us. And so a lot of times we inject ourselves in, but it's not about us or what we know. It's not about our ability. It's not about the gift that we have, but it's about the God who gave the ability. It is about the God who gave the gift. It's not about us. We are just instruments. We are just vessels by whom ye believe, like Paul was saying. Who is Paul and who is Apollos, you know. And he made mention about some of the other disciples, he says, or the ministers or the apostles. He says they're just ministers by whom ye believe. So he even talked about himself in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians when he was saying that he labored more abundantly than they all that were before him. And then he went on to say, but yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Then he was saying, whether I or they, so Christ is preached, and so ye believe. And so that's what's important, that Christ is preached. And that, so that is the mission of the church. And so we want to deal with, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's Mark 16 and 15. So he actually says, those two passages of scripture where he commissions the apostles to go after his resurrection, for he ascended after he was on the earth for 40 days. So he went back to heaven. So in Matthew 28 and 19, then also in Acts 1 and 3, he was there before he ascended up, because Luke wrote Acts and Luke wrote the book of Luke. And so he was saying, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, Luke 24 and 44, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's when he was saying, thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. The word tarry means wait, until ye be endued with power from on high. So in other words, you can't go nowhere till you get the power that I've been talking about. So that's why he was saying, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. If I go away, I will send him. When he comes, he's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness. He's going to reprove the world of judgment. So not about us. It's about him. That's why people hate apostolic church people who have the name of Jesus, because he's in us. And so they're not really, they don't understand. You're hating the spirit that is in us, and that is the Holy Ghost, the spirit of truth who is in us. And so thank God that we're able. I'm not ashamed. Like St. Paul said, he had heard about the church at Rome. He wanted to go. He didn't start that church. He wanted to go see them, and he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gifts. That's when he was saying that as much as lieth in me is, I'm ready to preach to you also that are at Rome. And that's when he was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as written, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. So grateful to be able to get in the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. And so should you be listening to this broadcast today, October 8th, 2019, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, live. You can call in should you have a question, should you have a comment. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. That is our guest call-in number. You are welcome to call in should you have a question or should you have a comment. So it's so good to be here today with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And so it's so important to realize what the mission of the church is, because so many don't know who he is. And so when you're representing the King of Kings, you need to know who he is and what you're talking about when you're representing someone. That's why Paul was saying that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And he said, be reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, he says, so he's made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when you are an ambassador, your agenda is not your own when you are representing another country. So a person's vocation, often the phrase mission in life, a group of persons representing or working for a particular country, business, etc. So we know in our case, we're talking about the church. Mission is a person who undertakes the work of a religious mission, to send out on a mission, to establish a religious mission. And so we know Abraham, he was the father of faith. So the apostles, they preached Jesus. They preached him from the law of Moses. They preached him from the prophets. They preached him from the Psalms. So St. Paul, he had an awesome task. He was sent to the children of Israel and to the Gentiles. You know, he was saying he was going to bring him before rulers for his name's sake to the children of Israel, and he's going to send him far hence to the Gentiles. So we know he wrote most of the New Testament letters to the church. Some say 14 Pauline epistles, that's including Hebrews. I'm not sure, but I don't know for sure about Hebrews. But like I've said before, whoever wrote Hebrews, I just say the Hebrew writer. And so whoever wrote it, he knew what he was talking about. So that was the most important thing. So we have to realize the mission that we're on. So many times nowadays, people are just cash apping. They got their Cash App and their PayPal set up, and they're doing live stream. And what they want is to make sure that some of them just get on there for a few minutes and act like they're so busy they're getting ready to go somewhere. If they are, well, they should have. They don't have no more time. They shouldn't have got on there. And then people be getting on there asking for an offering, or they're calling it a seed. And they really haven't said anything. So that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, if somebody want to donate, because some people do, if they want to give, then they can do that on their own without you asking for it. And so too many times this is what people are doing nowadays. They're the particular platforms. They say a few things, and then they want people to give. Or, as I said, they want people to sow. And they really haven't said nothing. So the whole point is, too many times people don't, when you are an ambassador, when you are on a mission, then you're on a certain platform, and you have a particular mission in mind, and everyone should be saying the same thing. So that's the problem with the church world. God is not the author of confusion. God didn't set up all of this where so many people are confused. They don't know what the truth is. But he taught the 12 personally. So we know he had other disciples, but he chose 12 whom he called apostles. They were eyewitnesses. They were taught personally by the Lord. They worked miracles. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, except for Luke, and you know, a number of other ones. They didn't write all the scriptures, but all of them were eyewitnesses. So everyone died a horrible death except for John the apostle, who wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. He was the only one that didn't die a death of a martyr like the others. But they tried to boil John, put him in the isle called Patmos, but he gave his testimony from there. I was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony and for the word of God. So God revealed himself, revealed the end, things are going to happen. We know the visions, they're all not in chronological order. They can go back and forward, but letting us know that we're in the end times. There's going to be a time when the church is going to be taken out of the earth, and that's what I was trying to deal with in those end time signs. That time is not going to be as long as it has been. It could be at any time. Any time is imminent. It can happen. And so that's what we have to focus on, realize what time it is, to be able to discern the signs of the times. So that's what he was saying. As it was, Jesus, the Master himself, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. In the days of Lot, they were building, they were planting. There was all kind of renaissance and all kinds of things going on in the days of Lot, until the day that he rained down fire and brimstone upon them. And, you know, that's why he was saying, like a snare is going to come on all of them that dwell on the earth. So many people in the church world, so many theologians, they know a lot of history. They know about customs. They know about covenants. They know geology, just a whole lot of things they can set in place, but they don't understand doctrine. They're not made to be able to. He can't teach them knowledge because they don't want it. Their eyes are, it's because they won't let the seal be broken. So this is what the vision in the book of Isaiah is becoming unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned. So we're talking about the intellectual here, saying, read this, I pray thee. He saith, I cannot. Why can't he? For it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is learned, is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. So wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and fear, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore will I proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And so it's hid, because that's what he's talking about. The veil was taken away, which veil is done away in Christ. So when Moses came down out of the mountain, he had the veil on his face, because the children of Israel his face was glowing. It shone. It was bright. He had a veil on when he talked to the children of Israel. And then when he went back and talked to him, referring back to the Lord, the God of the whole earth, the creator of the ends of the earth, when he went back in and talked to him, he took the veil off. So the writer in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says, which veil is done away in Christ? And he says, it shall turn to the Lord. Then shall the veil be taken away. What? It. Their heart. Their minds are blinded. Why? Because they rejected the Lord as the Messiah. So this is why in Isaiah 28:11, he said, to whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So them two things right there, knowledge and doctrine, you don't get that in seminary. you gotta have the Holy Ghost. You gotta be taught by someone who has the self same thing. They have understanding where they can teach the truth and pass it down. That's why Paul told Timothy, things that you heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same. Commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So if you can't teach what you haven't been taught, you haven't been taught it, then you can't teach it. You got to have understanding. And so he goes on here, them that are weaned, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Teach knowledge, question, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And so this is where the repetition we were taught. Pay very close attention to repetition. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So then he throws in, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That's the Holy Ghost, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And he goes on to say, because initially this is to Israel, wherefore hear the word of the Lord. This is the prophetic prophet Isaiah. Ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious corner stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. That cornerstone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that's why we make reference about the gospel. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is the apostles. That's why they laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They died horrible deaths. They were personally taught by the Lord. They worked miracles because they preached him out of the law of Moses. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached him out of the Psalms. So this is where you get the gospel. So that's the question to some today. Can they go back and do that? And so in Deuteronomy 18 and 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. So that's talking about the prophecy of the Messiah. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then so Isaiah 7 and 14, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But there's other important scriptures even before that that are very important when you talk about that. But those are the key ones that we use to. And so as he was saying about what the child is going to do, but he's going to know what to do and what not to do. But he was saying, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I would not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It's a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? That's a question. That's what he goes on to say. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And so this is a prophecy also. So he goes on here, Isaiah, they called the eagle eye prophecy. Just we're hitting on some of the main highlights, Isaiah 9 and 6. And so he goes on here, the people walked in darkness, because Matthew writes about this. Isaiah 9 and 2 have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the Lord the light shine. So also Matthew makes reference to this prophecy because he wrote to the Jews that thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased joy, the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou hast broken the yoke off his burden, the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolling blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And he goes on, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's 33 years later, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, forth, for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So like I said, so we're going on here. We're bringing, showing you just little excerpts, the highlights of the prophecies. We already got the one out of the law of Moses, and then we got this one out of the book of Jeremiah, and then so we're going to get one of, just touch a little bit, and the book of Psalms has more than one. Actually, everywhere there are other prophecies, but we just want to get some of the main ones. And so because he was preached out of the law of Moses, he was preached out of the prophets, he was preached out of the Psalms. We're talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we want to do is, as we're moving on through, we want to bring him out of the 22nd chapter of Psalm, which is called, is dubbed the Crucifixion Psalm. So there's so much to go here in this, but I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. That's verse 6. All that see me laugh, me to scorn. They shoot out the lips, they shake the hand, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But remember, that's what they said when they put him up on the cross. Remember, he was saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. They nailed him to that cross. He was made a curse to the tree. When they dropped it in the ground, they lifted it up. They fulfilled the scripture. That's what he said. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he says, thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. So all of these things, be not far from me, for trouble is near me. There is none to help. So he was in Isaiah 59, says the Lord's hand has hid his face from thee. So he was made a sin offering. That's why he cried out the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 52 and 14. So that's a fulfillment of that. So his bone, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are waxed out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of me. My strength is dried up like posture. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast bought me into the dust of death. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So he goes on, I may tell my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, hasten thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? This is another quote. This is out of the book of Hebrews. It literally, in the book of Hebrews, he says, in the midst of the church. But we know in the Old Testament, it was the congregation. It was referred to, like they were talking about in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they're baptized in the cloud and in the sea, talking about under Moses. So it's a type and a shadow. And in the New Testament, the 6th chapter of Romans says, we've been talking about we've been buried together in the likeness of his death, talking about Jesus. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified. So in other words, we're buried with him by baptism in the 6th chapter of Romans. So the same water that saves us destroys our enemies. So Peter was saying in the days of Noah that they're in the like figure. He was talking about that few therein, eight souls were saved by water. And he says, the like figure doth also now save us, not to putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. So we go on here. He's talking about the same thing. So my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. So that's the church. I'll pay my vows from them. And all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. So he goes on to say, the kingdom of the Lord is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And so a seed shall serve him. He shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. So this is what they call the crucifixion psalm. And so there's other places too. When he was talking about my enemy has lifted up his heel against me. And then we know also in the book of Zechariah 12 and 10, during the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, the latter clause, he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause. And so all of these things are going to be fulfilled. So they did look on him, and then all the house of Israel are going to look on him. So they're going to realize Zechariah 9 and 9, thy king cometh, riding upon the coat, the foal of an ass. And so that did come to pass. That was a prophecy that was given in Zechariah 9 and 9, I believe. So that prophecy has already come to pass. So God's word is on time. They didn't miss a beat. Everything has going to be fulfilled. That's why he was saying, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you in Luke 24, while I was with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, he said, concerning me. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So this is this prophecy here, Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the coat, the foal of an ass. So that prophecy has already come to pass. And so this is what we're trying to. So he was the sin offering. Hebrew writer really brings it out. Once in the end of the world, he has put away sin. He has appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he was the priest that ever liveth to make intercession. So the priest went in the Old Testament, they would go in once a year, and the Bible said, not without blood. First they offer for themselves, then for the sin of the people. So this is talking about the priest. High priest of our profession, Jesus. He did this once when he offered up himself. And so in the book of Hebrews, there's so much to go there. And so he was saying, no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God. So also Christ offered not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So God is the Spirit, so God had to make himself a body. So this is what he did. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared. So he was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So he goes on here to let us know there's so much to go there, this, what he did. So Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, which without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. So consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So what did he do? He consumed them. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. By who he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed them that he had the promises. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed and the better. So he goes on here. He's talking about with here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he's talking about perfection. It didn't come out of the Levitical priesthood. He goes on here. So he says, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did. That's a key word in the book of Hebrews. So he says, by the which we draw nigh unto God, inasmuch as with, as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests which were without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he goes on to say, so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So we know, you go back, a testament is not of force until after men are dead. So Jesus didn't make sure we got the new will or the new testament, but he rose from the dead and bought it to us, made sure we received it. So he goes on here, by reason, they truly were priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the Hebrew writer says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So in other words, it keeps on making him. That word E-T-H. So he didn't, they died. So here, it's like I was making mention, so Christ became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So he's talking about our body, either by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered into in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And he goes on here, he says, if the blood of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He goes on here, this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So here it is right here. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. When Moses, when he had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the new testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That's why we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Well, he goes on, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often. So remember, they did this once a year. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, but then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men that once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So notice that word appear. The word appear means to, that's the rapture of the church, because literally the second coming, the church is going to be with him. In the book of Jude, he says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And then also, I think the prophet Jeremiah says, the Lord coming and all of thy saints with thee. So it's so important to understand the difference, because everybody don't. They just explain in the Bible way. They don't know what they're talking about. And because they have not been taught. And so all thy saints with thee. And so that's what you have to realize. And they're going to look upon him whom the Lord says, me, whom they have pierced. And so people don't understand. If they haven't been taught, then they don't have understanding about what the word of the Lord is talking about, the gospel. And so you can't, it's better not to even try than to be explaining the Bible away. And so to get to what we were talking about today, so the commission, the mission, so they say the Great Commission, the scripture don't say that. The people, depend on what study Bible you have. If you have a Thompson Chain, if you have a Scofield, if you have a Dakes, they are the ones in the margin saying different things. Just like they keep talking about in the sixth chapter of Acts, the first deacons, well, the scripture don't say that. That's in the margins where the people, Scofield, Thompson Chain, and Dakes are the ones who saying that. You can't have deacons if you don't have churches. There were no churches established in the first, until after Apostle Paul actually came on the scene and set everything in order, which was better, probably a good 10, 15 years after Pentecost, when that was happened. So he says to them after he rose from the dead, and so what to do in the Gospels, that they were told what to do, but then Luke was so specific, he told them to wait at the city of Jerusalem. So in other words, you got to go and preach the gospel to every creature, because so that they got to know what they're talking about to be able to do it, and Mark, John Mark's gospel. Then in Matthew's gospel, he was saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So he was letting them know, baptizing them. He didn't say, repeat after me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So that's one of the most misused scriptures in the New Testament, because the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. The name of the Father, St. John 5:41. Jesus said, I'm coming, 5:43. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. That's the name of the Son. The name of the Holy Ghost, St. John 14:26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." There you have it, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But they knew what the name was, and that was the name of Jesus. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead. Luke so beautifully writes, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So that's why when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he let them know that this is the stone was set at naught, the builders rejected, you know, neither is there salvation in any other. That stone is made the head of the corner. But on the day of Pentecost, when he was saying that they were pricked in their hearts, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And went on to let them know the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." The next verse says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers." That's three different things. So fellowship, we have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Lord because we are saying it's so such an intertwined thing. We partaking of the same thing. So it's really everybody don't have fellowship. Everybody don't know who he is. John wrote in his epistle, he said, "He that knoweth God heareth us." So he's not just talking about himself, but he is talking about the other apostles. We, you know, people saying they're going to do what Peter said. They're going to do what Jesus said. What Peter said, what Jesus said. So they were with him. And so you got to get an understanding that the name is Jesus Christ. And so there's so much confusion after the Nicene Council in 325, whenever about that time when they changed it. And then when the so-called revelation, which was a devilation, at the council that he received, can't even think of his name, the Nicene Council. And so they come up with this so-called Trinity, which is the dirtiest lie ever came out of hell, because the whole point is to come against truth, is because the first commandment was Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And so Exodus 6:3, he's talking about his name, you know, how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew the Lord by the name God Almighty. But he was saying, "By my name Jehovah was I not known unto them." So that's so very important because, yeah, Exodus 6:3. But the whole point is the name Jesus, Jehovah, is become our salvation. So it's not doing away with his name. And after the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Holy Writ, no more in the Scriptures. But the name is Jesus, Jesus. So whatever it is in Hebrew, you know, his Hebrew name. So that's the argument with what people are coming up with, all kinds of stuff. And I'm told that there are better than 4,000 languages in the world. Everybody don't speak the same languages. There have been all of these languages since the Tower of Babel, when God confused them, where they couldn't understand one another, when they was going to make a name for themselves and build a tower in the heaven. They couldn't understand each other because he was saying he came down and checked it out. The people was one. They were going to accomplish what they set out to do, but they couldn't because they couldn't communicate with one another. And during that time, they had what is called soulish power. They built these great pyramids. They did a lot of things. But now we're not under that, but his knowledge is increased, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so people are accomplishing a lot of things, And that is also one of the end time signs in the book of Daniel. Knowledge shall be increased. So we got all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of, we never had these types of things. A lot of people, I think the Queen of England, they said she was the first one to send a email in 76, 1976, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of people weren't into computers. They were really afraid of them. Then actually in the 90s, when a lot of people in America really started getting into computers, and they would say going online. And then in the 21st century, after 01, in the 06, 07, whenever people started having, because they had phones in the 90s, in the middle 90s, because I know that's when I got my first cell phone, we called it. And the first iPhone, I believe, was 07, if I'm not mistaken. And then so BlackBerry might have been around that time, or maybe a little after, whenever it was. And so now knowledge has increased because you just don't have people. So we got broadband. It used to be you would go on AOL or whatever. Welcome to AOL. You'd have to have another line. If you're on the online, then your phone would be busy. But now they have broadband, so you have your network. People on your network, they just need the password to connect to your network, and so you can do multiple things. So knowledge has increased, and so letting us to know what time it is. So the word of God has not changed. So the commission is still. Neither is there salvation in any other. In Acts 4 and 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. So that's the answer to people vaping, smoking these e-cigarettes, a monkey on their back with this nicotine devil, alcohol, the foolishness that people are doing. The yoke can be destroyed because of the anointing. That's what he came. That's why he was saying, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you." I'm a witness. You're listening to one right now. Haven't had another drink. Haven't used to smoke when I drink. Haven't done none of that. Been totally delivered. Got the power of God. Went down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sins. Received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. The power of God in August of 76, and I've been free ever since. So that's why I'm telling you that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel works. And so if we do what he says, the gospel is a prescription to save your soul. So not only that, is he able to do to break every yoke and destroy every fetter, break every fetter and destroy every yoke, but he's able to give us what we need. We have power, so we can help somebody else in, we say, the meantime. So because the Lord is sure to come, because we are living in the last days. So this is what we want, to let people know about the mission of the church. So it's not about you're going to get this and people speaking word over your life. Yeah, things are going to happen, but the really main thing of the gospel, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us from our sins, because we didn't bring nothing in this world. We're not going to take nothing with us. So people have made the gospel, they supposing that gain is godliness. So it's not godliness for contentment. Gain. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. Not saying that you shouldn't be doing better. So my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you